This sermon was delivered at Grand Avenue Baptist Church, a gospel-centered church in Ames, Iowa. Hear more sermons and learn more about Grand Avenue at gabcames.org.
So this week we're going to be digging into Chronicles. Been looking forward to this one for a while. I think this is a really, this book helps us, gives us a good opportunity to talk about a couple of really just important kind of biblical theology issues. They're just going to be kind of helpful to have in the back of your mind. So we're gonna cover those here in a little bit. First off, I just want to say, some of you might know this, but I'm taking a few classes at a school down in Kansas City right now. So I got to do that this past week. Went down there for about a week. Just a huge, huge blessing to get to do that, to have space to do that in this role. So we're just right off the bat, I just want to thank, especially the members here, just thank you for the opportunity to get to do that. It's a huge blessing to me. It just really helps me understand what we're trying to do here. So huge blessing. Really enjoyed that. Heather and the girls came down for a few days there on the end. So that was a really just a sweet time together to see some friends and all that. So thank you. Thank you for that. Just a huge blessing, huge privilege. All right. So let's jump into Chronicles. We're continuing our series, just kind of working book by book through the Bible. At the beginning, I had ambitions to do the whole Old Testament this semester. We are not going to do the whole Old Testament this semester. We only really have a few foundations classes left, so we'll just do our best, take our time, and hopefully see some great things here. So let's just go ahead and dive into it. The thing I really appreciate about Chronicles and taking a deep dive into Chronicles is it helps us to start to think canonically about the scriptures and specifically about the Old Testament. So maybe you've read through the Bible kind of cover to cover before in the past, and you finished 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and you pick up Chronicles right after that, 1, 2 Chronicles, and maybe your eyes kind of glaze over a little bit because you kind of just read this story, right? You kind of just covered this, and so it might not stick with you quite so much. And so I found it, and in my experience to some degree as well, I think it's easy for Chronicles to kind of just get overlooked because of its placement right next. It kind of almost functions as kind of a summary of the four books you just read, and so we don't think too much about it in itself, which I think is something of a shame. Something I'm excited to get to correct a little bit. So one thing that could be helpful to know, again, we're trying to think canonically. There are a few different ways historically. The location of different books in the Bible has been somewhat fluid throughout history, so it hasn't always kind of been one order all the way through, and so especially the Old Testament, there are different lists kind of that will list the books in different orders, and one of the more common lists orderings actually puts Chronicles at the very end, puts Chronicles as the last book of the Old Testament. And we see some kind of echoes of this model playing out when Jesus talks about in Luke, I believe it's 24, where he says that what was written about him in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Right, so the Psalms kind of filling in for what's kind of more commonly known as the writings, the section called the writings of the Old Testament scriptures. And so we see that the law is the books of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and then the prophets are a lot of the history book are known as the former prophets, and then what we think of, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the Book of the 12, the minor prophets, that's kind of the prophets, and then everything else is kind of the writings, right? So we get the Psalms, we get Proverbs, we get Ecclesiastes, and then Chronicles gets lumped in with the writings as well, kind of functioning as this kind of conclusion to the Old Testament, right? So in a lot of ways, a lot of people who have read the scriptures throughout history have read Chronicles as the closing book of the Old Testament. And so kind of the reason I want to mention that is just to help us think about who might be the original reader of this text. Kind of the mindset that the compiler, because right, he's pulling from a lot of material from the previous books and compiling this kind of overarching history. I guess I should say that you might not have any idea what Chronicles has. Chronicles is basically a history of all of Earth up into the return from exile, right? From the very creation, really focuses on the reign of David and covers a lot of kind of the glories and decline of Israel. And so it's this big overarching history for the Old Testament. And it is composed, is put together in the post-exile period, Right. And so it's a history book looking back over the history of the people, then being read by people now post return from Babylon, but pre-Christ, right? That kind of timeline makes sense of where we're standing. Whereas books of Samuel, those are going to be written and composed primarily kind of during the events that it's narrating. Right, and then Kings is going to be somewhat similar, much closer to the events themselves, kind of the initial reports of what's going on. So it's helpful. I'll point out a few reasons why that's helpful to think about, but it's just helpful to read Chronicles with that in mind, right? Kind of with that post-exile, right? So do you know what I mean by that? There, Israel lives in the land. If you have that timeline, you can kind of see it there. Israel lives in the land and then is conquered by Babylon, by Syria, and then Babylon, taken into exile. And then eventually is returned, right? So we're thinking from that posture of the now returned people of Israel to the land. That's the post-exile that I'm talking about. So let's jump into it. How is this book structured? So, the canonical role, it's a post-exile summary of all of Israelite history. Final book of the canon for a lot of these, and it kind of recalibrates Israelite identity. This is kind of one of the main functions of it. It recalibrates Israelite identity to point forward to a coming new David and a new Exodus. So let's look at some differences. How is this different between Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, right? So it's covering mostly the same events, but how is it different? First, it's just perspective. Samuel and Kings tells the story of Israel and Judah from mostly a balanced perspective, and at times even kind of more of a northern or an Israelite perspective, right? If you remember when Israel and Judah kind of split, went their own way, Judah in the south, Israel in the north. Samuel and Kings spends a lot more time telling the Israelite story. Think about Ahab, think about Elijah, that's all Israel, that's all northern northern stories. Chronicles tells the story of Judah from a southern Judean perspective. Israel is only included where it intersects with Judah. This is Judah's story. Then the characters, the stories are a little bit different. Samuel and Kings deals with the history of several major prophets, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha. Chronicles doesn't include the stories of any of those prophets. It's just Kings. Samuel and Kings emphasizes the bad kings and the sins of the good kings. Kind of, it's written during the time that these things are happening, early on in the exiles when it kind of gets compiled, and kind of asking the question, how did we get here? How did God's judgment fall on us as a people? So the emphasis leans towards the sins of the kings of Israel and Judah. Chronicles then emphasizes the good kings and doesn't even really mention some of the very major sins of the good kings, or emphasizes the repentance of these kings, like Hezekiah. So this is written after the return from exile, and what it does is it sets up world history as the story of the Davidic king. And it asks, now that we're back from exile, what should we be hoping in? What should we be looking to for future hope? So the key question, Samuel Kings is asking, how did we get here? Exile. Chronicles is asking, what should we hope in? What should we be looking forward to? And the answer is the son of David, a new Exodus. One thing that kind of makes this point is the Davidic promise. So could somebody look up 2 Samuel 7 and somebody 1 Chronicles 17? 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 16. Great. You'll be in 11 through 14. So one thing I want you to note, this will be the God's promise to David about the fact that there will be a son of David on his throne forever after him, right? And so what I want you to notice is kind of the different, I just want you to notice the differences, the big difference. There's one big difference of what gets included in this quotation and what doesn't. Go ahead. Great, thank you. So that's 1 Samuel, or 2 Samuel. That's the Samuel one. That's kind of the contemporaneous. This is while these things are happening, shortly thereafter. And then 1 Chronicles?
Yep, starting verse 11. When your days are fulfilled to walk with your father,
Thank you. So same promise. What's missing? What's different? Yeah. Say a little bit louder. What's different? That's right. So in Samuel Kings, you have this emphasis of the son of David, when he does wrong, he'll be disciplined by the rods of men. That doesn't get included in the Chronicles portion. So just a note on ancient quotations, right? There's a less of a concern about like word perfect accuracy, right? It's more of a, here's what was said, right? And so don't be too worried about discrepancies there. They're trying to communicate what they're trying to communicate. So 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, there's this emphasis on when the kings do wrong, they'll be disciplined. In Chronicles, that's not there. Because during the Samuel Kings era, what they're looking for is, how do we understand God's acts towards us through God's acts towards the king? Right? They're thinking about the sons of David. What's going to happen when the sons of David do well? We're going to be blessed. What's going to happen when the sons of David sin? The people are going to be punished. Right? So in that context, they're thinking the sons of David, the kings that are going to come from the line of David. But in Chronicles, they're not thinking about the sons of David, are they? They're looking forward to the son of David. And so they're not thinking about what's going to happen when he sins, because he won't. So they're not analyzing current kings, going, what's going to happen to us? How is God thinking about, or what, you know, is God going to judge the king? Is he righteous, unrighteous? They're looking forward. There is no king on the throne. They're looking forward to the coming son of David, who will not sin, and there will be no discipline of him, and he will reign on the throne of David forever. So this is what Chronicles is starting to set up. Okay, then we get into the actual structure. Chapter in book 1:1-9, we see genealogies. This is just all of world history up to David, right? So it's from Adam. The first word in the book of Chronicles is Adam. It doesn't start with, here's a genealogy of Adam. It just says Adam, Seth, right? I love it. Very terse, right to the point. And then in verses 10 through 21, gets to the rise and reign of David. Covers a little bit of Saul, but then right to David. And then 22 to 29, kind of a preparation for succession to his son Solomon. And then we get to book 2, Second Chronicles 1 through 9, we see the reign of Solomon. And he's kind of, again, set up as this kind of potential eschatological son of David. Things are going really well. The kingdom's being blessed. Solomon's being great. But then he falls short, and he's removed, and he dies. Second Chronicles 10 through 25, we see the Davidic dynasty, right? It's kind of then the sons of David, some stories of what's going on in Judah. 26 through 36, the second half of that, from Uzziah to all the way up to the return from exile. So theology, just want to point this out real quick. The main idea is that God has not abandoned his promises to Abraham and David. God has not abandoned his promises. We've returned from exile. God is still going to be faithful to his promises. Here's this quote from a book that I thought was helpful. It says, God, through a special covenant relationship with the Davidic dynasty, the sons of David, one exhibited by and centered on the temple and its cultists, that's just kind of like religious practices, will bless his elect people Israel when and as they live in obedience, and through them will extend his grace to the world. Again, looking forward to a returning son of David who will not just bless the people, but the world through them. Okay, here's kind of the meat that I want to get at. In thinking about redemption. So what happens here is Chronicles is a new Genesis that helps to kind of reestablish Israel's identity as an expectant people. Chronicles is meant to function like a second Genesis for a people awaiting a new Moses and a new Exodus. Like Genesis, it tells a story of world history and God's promises to Israel for the redemption of the world, where Genesis focuses on God's promise to bring his people out of Egypt into the promised land. Chronicles focuses on God's promise to bring about worldwide blessing through a son of David. Thus, Chronicles pushes the reader to wait on the Lord in hope of a new David who will also be a new Moses to lead a new Exodus. But since the readers are already physically in the promised land, right, they don't need to be taken from A to B. They're already there. But they're still not free. They're still not experiencing God's blessing. The new Exodus is going to be a spiritual Exodus, freedom from spiritual bondage. Like Israelites in Egypt, the reader is called to remember God's words and works and look forward in hope to God's greater deliverance through God's greater deliverer. The reader of Genesis is called to look back to Abraham and anticipate Moses. Right? Think of yourself kind of in the, you know, prologue of Exodus. You're called to look back to the promises to Abraham and expect Moses, expect the fulfillment of his promises to Abraham. But the reader of Chronicles is called to look back to David and anticipate a greater Moses, the Christ. Okay, similarities. Why do I make that point? They both begin with Adam. Genesis 2:7, we see Adam is created. Genesis 1:26, he's created as well. Not as well, but we see that. 1 Chronicles 1:1, again, very first word, Adam. It starts with Adam. And it quickly moves history along to the covenant head. You see, in Genesis, the first 11 chapters get you really quickly through a lot of earth history up to Abraham. And the story slows way down to tell the story of Abraham, the covenant head that the people are looking back to with reference. The same with David. Same, even more world history is covered up to the point of David, and the story slows way down, the covenant head. And it concludes, this is interesting and a bit more technical, concludes with go up language about a return to the promised land. So in Genesis 50, verse 25, Joseph says to his to the Israelites, "You shall carry up," or from the Hebrew meaning go up, "my bones from here." This is the second to last verse in Genesis. And then in 2 Chronicles 36:23, it ends with, the whole book ends with, "Whoever is among you of all his people," this is the decree of Cyrus, "whoever is among you of all his people," God, "may the Lord his God be with him. Let him go up," which is an intentional place to cut off the book. So we see more of the decree in Ezra, the next book. We see it's a longer decree than just that, but the chronicler wants us to end on that note, the call to go up, right? So he's pushing us to remember the way that Genesis ended. This is from a quote from a guy named Stephen Dempster, an Old Testament scholar. He says, "Thus the first and last books of the Hebrew Bible begin and end on the same note, Adam, and the hope of an impending exodus, a going up." So remember, Chronicles is the last book of the Hebrew canon in a lot of lists. Either way, Chronicles function like a new Genesis, which draws attention both to the Abrahamic promise and the Davidic promise, all to be fulfilled in a coming new Moses. Then, and this is interesting, then, imagine Chronicles is the last book of your Old Testament. Then you turn the page. What's next? What's after the Old Testament? What's the first book of the New Testament? Matthew, right? How does Matthew start? Note what you'd see when you flip the page to the New Testament. Chronicles is how the Old Testament ends, at least historically, and Matthew 1:1 is how the New Testament starts. Consider this verse: "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Then Matthew tells world history up to Jesus through a genealogy. From Adam to Jesus through a genealogy, just like Genesis, just like Chronicles, and slows down to tell Jesus' story. Chronicles loads up the tension of hope in a new Abraham, a new David, a new Moses, and a new and spiritual Exodus, all bundled up in a new covenant. Then Matthew delivers, "Here is Jesus, the fulfillment of all your hopes." So this is the tension that Chronicles is putting on you. This is why in Jesus' day, people were expecting the Messiah. So what does this mean for us? How do we apply this? Pretty straightforward. Believe in Jesus. You should read Chronicles and believe in Jesus. Because you're not a post-exilic Israelite reading this story, right? You're a post-ascension Christian reading this story. So you don't just see the anticipation, you see the fulfillment. So Chronicles should load you with that tension to then be relieved in Jesus in the New Testament. This is the new David that we're looking for, that they were looking for and we're now waiting on to return. We are an expectant people. God is a covenant-keeping God. In Christ's first coming, he established his new covenant with new promises. He's the new Adam, the new Abraham, the new David. Like post-exilic Jews, look back to David, look back to Jesus. In Christ's second coming, he will carry out the full and final exodus of his people out of bondage to sin and death into his eternal kingdom. So like post-exilic Jews looking forward to the new Moses, look forward to the return of Christ. So that's what I have for you.